Just trying out some new things, some new angles, hoping we get some good connection.
Yeah, man. Dude, we're talking about one of the greats in college basketball today, bro. It's going to be exciting.
All right, man. I'm concerned. So I'm going to let you go first. We're talking about Cason Wallace, Kentucky guard.
I want to throw this out here. Like, when I say that, like, he's one of the better college athletes this year, I truly believe that. The way that he's able to play, get up the court, the way he's able to play defense. At first, when I looked at his game film and I watched his games, I watched him play, and I'm like, 6'5", 6'6", the way he plays, lanky arms, tall. I was like, you know, pretty certain that he was 6'5", 6'6", man. And I was shocked. I was shocked when I found out he was 6'3". He does have 6'6" arms, and he's 19 years old. Obviously, we're talking about Cason Wallace here. I just love his impact on defense. Again, this is to me somebody that I love to see what they can do on defense, because I look at the NBA and the way that two-way players are really needed right now. And if you look at two-way players on defense and offense, I'm talking right now, and understanding that you can play offense and hold your own on defense is the best impact that you can have. So watching him play defense, I get reminded of a lot of different point guards that are incredibly efficient on defense, and I like that. I like the fact that he can play point guard, shooting guard, or even small forward and hold his own. Now, small forward is a little bit of a stretch. He'll put some meat on and he'll be fine, and he'll be able to hold his own. But especially that small forward is a bigger, you know, type guard instead of a forward. So he's going to be all right in the NBA. I'm excited about the way that his defense is going to lead his playing time and start his playing time. And his offense, I shouldn't really like diss his offense, because I do feel like his off the ball score is something that he should, you know, we should circle and be like, yes, he's very good. He can score 35% of the time off the ball score. So those are the type of things that you want to see to be able to say, hey, he can put in, himself in this offense right here, because our offense is designed to be able to score without the ball and off the ball. It's an exciting idea of seeing how he would be able to fit in this offense, be incredibly efficient, and as well play defense. And he's got some stuff that I would consider that he needs to work on, but to me, there's too many upsides of his playmaking skills that I look and say, to me, at Kentucky, he wasn't able to truly spread his wings. And I think that this is something that, with the right situation in Oklahoma City especially, I do think that he would be able to spread his wings, get better. And I guess when people are like, oh, we got too many guards, yes, we got a lot of guards, but when is having a playmaker like Cason Wallace fall to you at number 12, right? When would that be a problem for us to take? I think that would be an amazing thing and an amazing opportunity, because we know what Kentucky guards can do in the league. We see them all over. We see Calipari's incredible talent of getting guards and playing them in the league. So I don't think this would be a bad knock on the Oklahoma City Thunder if they picked up another guard like Cason Wallace.
All right, so
hey, can you guys see Mark? I can't see you, Mark.
Oh, you can't see me? Can you hear me though?
Yeah, definitely hear you.
All right, well,
you're good.
I'll move into a situation pretty quickly, but where I get a bit better connection here. But tell me a little bit more about my questions about him on defense. Like,
sure,
can he guard more than one position?
Oh yeah, like that's
but
the thing.
He's only 6'2".
I said, dude, he's 6'3", but he looks bigger than 6'3".
He looks smaller than 6'3" to me.
Man, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong, because if he's 6'3" and above, he's okay. If he's below 6'3", then I'm kind of concerned. But I look at him as a guy that can play a big guard. I mean, he held his own against bigger guards in college basketball, and I know college basketball in the NBA is different, obviously, but I feel like he could hold his own. I feel like he could do some great things out there. I don't think it's necessarily one of those things that we should hypervigilant saying, oh, well, he can't guard the forward position, and we need to have a guy that can guard the forward position too, but we have guys on the team that aren't able to guard that forward or center position.
How's that with my? Can you see my video now, or is that? Not?
Not yet, but it'll take a second to.
All right, so. But I definitely don't think he can guard. Guard the two, even definitely not the forward.
No, the big guards. I think he can guard the big guards.
Think he can guard Shea?
In the NBA, the way it's shifting is that a lot of times.
If he's not with the Thunder, you think he can guard Shea?
What's that?
You think he can guard Shea?
Well, Shade's one of the best guards in the league. So, like, that's what I'm saying is, like, he isn't going to take your best defender. You know, that's going to be Dort. That's going to be J-Dub. You know, like, he's going to be able to hold his own as a small guard through the defensive mindset that he plays with. It's not necessarily – I'm not saying that he can play with Shea on defense. But what I'm saying is that he can have the opportunity to get that good. He just needs time to develop. And here's the thing about it is that we look at Calipari's ability to –
track record.
Yeah, yeah, and look at Shea. You know, like nobody really gave Shea the time of day when he was coming out of college from Kentucky. So I look at Cason Wallace as a very close idea of what could it be like, because, you know, yesterday I kind of drew some flack about me saying that Anthony Black could go number five. But I do think that there's going to be somebody that's going to jump and get into that top five that are going to go for a guard like this. So I don't know if that means that Anthony Black is going to be off the table that early, but I don't think that Anthony Black is going to stay on the list past seven. I think he's off the board at seven anyway. So saying that Anthony Black won't jump up two is crazy, because I do think that this is definitely a possibility. And if you look at Cason Wallace and you look at his ability and you look at the fact that Calipari has mentored him, and I have to say is that you got to take a chance. If you get a chance to get a guy like this and you think, okay, he can play his own against big guards, and if he can develop into playing a position where they're going to be three guards out on the court at all times, not like an old time where it has two forwards, a center, or three forwards and two guards. This is not where it's going. We're going to have multiple guards at the court at all times. So having four guards and a big man isn't a bad thing. And that means that, you know, picking up more guards is what we need. And it's just simple, you know, like.
But, okay, so my concern, though, is that he's not a J-Dub style player.
J-Dub, okay, if you want to say what type of style player he is.
Right.
Right? You're going to have to go with less athletic, less of a jumper, right, than Morant. That's the type of style you have to go. So he's not going to ever compare to a J-Dub style. Does it make sense?
Yeah.
And I hate saying Morant because, you know, the notion of everything that's going on around Morant. But his style of play, the way that he plays, the motor that he has, the way he gets up and down the court, the way he sees the court, you know, it's a very Morant-esque style of play. So I'm not, you know, to me, it's not – we're not drafting him to go and play multiple positions at, you know, four through one. You know, if we would be drafting him, he would be primarily coming into the game early in his career at that one or two spot.
Right.
And then learning how to play from those guys and playing in the G League yet again.
So I think a lot of times, like, he stands to benefit from Calipari's reputation.
Yes.
And that concerns me. Is he really up to that, or is he just going to be like, well, you know, he has this incredible track record. I think if I look at it like a low end, I get concerned that maybe he would be like a Kobe White.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, there's always these players that you can say, if this player is going to be great, it's going to be this player. And this player is going to be medium, it's going to be like this player. If this player is going to suck, it's going to be like this player.
Right.
To me, like, my whole goal through this process is to look at the upside in each one of these things on players, is recognize that each one of them have improvement areas that need to work on stuff. But most of the fact is that it's just recognizing the strengths that I see. So, like, when I look at his improvement areas, they're not as big and long as a lot of these other players that we've been scouting, Mark. You know, and that's the thing that I like. I like he's more polished than most of these other kids that are coming out. I say kids with all due respect to the 19-year-olds that we've been scouting. But, you know, his improvement areas are such like being the main scorer on a team, right?
Right.
His pull-up range and understanding where to be at with screens. Like, those are things that this Oklahoma City Thunder system is really good at teaching. These are not difficult things for a player to start understanding how to move within the system.
Right.
So to me, like, that's what I look at. And I'm saying when you're looking at young men like this is you, a lot of times you want to see, yes, all the great things that they do, but also how far do they have to go in order to be, you know, somebody that can play on this team. And there's a lot of guys that I'll say that there's like 0% chance we'll see this player at number 12. But the way this draft is and how funky it is, Cason Wallace, I think, is at 9 right now, projected to go 9 in most drafts. That's not far from dropping back 3 if something happens. You know, like, so there's a possibility that Cason would be available. I don't want to see it because that would mean that'd be shitty for him. But on the same sense is that if he's available and Sam Presti likes what he sees, I don't have an issue with Cason Wallace pick at all because we can develop him into another one of those amazing players.
I think he's got potential. I think he's going to be an NBA player. So, like, even though he's a little bit small, but I just don't know that he's going to be an all-star.
That's the hardest thing, man.
Right.
Like, how many all-stars are in this draft class compared to last year's draft class?
I think this draft class could have 4.
Wow. Okay. I thought between 5 and 6 is what my guess was, but 4, I could see 4. Last year's draft, I see multiple. I see double digits, throughout their course, the careers, just because of the impact of the new, quote unquote, the new NBA. It's the impact of the new NBA, and I think that's the thing about it is that. Because we had last year's draft and it was so heavy, it was so deep. I mean, think about it. J-Dub dropped to 12. In any other draft, there's no way he drops to 12. Just not. You know, there was just so much top 10. These guys were so focused on the top 10. It was insane, man. I've never seen anything like it. So, again, I do think that there's going to be double digits all-stars in last year's draft. And I think that there'll be single digits in this year's draft. But finding those single digits, I think it's quite obvious that there's 3 best players in this draft. So to say that there's 3 guys that are, in my opinion, that are probably automatic all-stars, you know, isn't that crazy, first of all. You know, and then you got I think you got Brandon Miller.
I think Scooter. I know the other two. I didn't know if you'd put Brandon that high.
Yeah, I do. I think that he has the potential out of all the other guys to be an all-star. And then if you got those 3, and then that means you between 5 and 15, you're gonna have another 3 that are all stars.
Oh, really?
And that it's gonna be a doggy. I've been saying about this draft is this is the best draft to pick up what role players. This is a role player draft. This is not an all star draft. This is a role player, high fucking end role players. Not like.
But then you just said there were 6 all stars.
Yeah, but that's not. I mean, like,
that's
think about
high. That's pretty incredible.
Well, yes, but if you look at double digits from the year before and the year before that, you still had 4
double digit all-stars, bro.
From this last year, man. Yeah,
I don't know,
dude. This last year, are you telling me that you're not going to have the top 4 guys in the draft aren't going to end up in the all-star?
I mean, Jabari might not make an all-star.
Okay, all right. So let's just say the top 3 out of the top 4 guys drafted are making.
Wasn't Keegan at number 4? Or was that was that the guy for Detroit?
Let's just go through it. Like, if we have the top 4 guys, 3 of the top 4, okay, and then after the top between the top 5 and the top 9, I think that you have 3 more. Maybe 2.
I don't know.
Because look at who's drafted in there, man.
Maybe Mathurin and J Dub were the only 2 I can think of from.
I think Kessler is going to be an all-star.
Maybe.
Oh, bro,
but
he's
good. Remember, it's so hard to become an all-star even if you're a defensive player of the year, that doesn't mean you're an all-star.
I know. God damn, man.
It's tough, man.
Maybe my double digits is off, but I just feel like last year's draft is so spectacular.
To me, it seems like it was, but it also seems like
it
would be historic.
I just think that there's more possibility that we end up having 3 players that enter the all-star on our team from last year than anybody else, straight up. If you think about it, we've got in that 4 picks that we got last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
We got Chet, which I think is an all-star. Usman Jang, which I think can develop into that eventually in his career. I think J-Dub will be an all-star. And I think you can't out throw out Jay Will, because if Jay Will is going up there and just gobbling up charges and all this other stuff, man, and he changes the game as far as charges go, because that new rule that they're putting in that's saying that they're actually, it's pretty close to being official, that they're going to be able to review charges and assess a technical if it was a flop, right? Mm-hmm. The great thing about that is I didn't see a flop from Jay Will at all, Jay Will this last year. So it doesn't affect Jay Will, but affects everybody else in the mental aspect of taking a charge. So when Jay Will's doing that, and then Jay Will also becomes, you know, a 40-plus, you know, percent three-point shooter, you know, like, it's going to be hard for him not to get a few votes for the All-Star game. And I think that's the thing about it, especially if we get an opportunity to get in the Western Conference Finals and different things like that. I think we'll see a lot of Jay Will get votes like that. So we could end up with,
it would be crazy,
with
but
three or even four guys that have come through our system in that draft, and, you know, whether we trade for somebody or not, but four guys in that draft, that would be amazing to see. So I don't know, yeah, man. Like,
I think the other guys, I'd say maybe Keegan Murray has a chance. I think Paolo obviously proved it.
Yeah. So Blake,
I already mentioned Mathurin, but it's tough, man. But like Jay Will might get some votes from some Thunder fans, but in the end, he's going to run into the same problem as Walker Kessler, which is you can be the best in the league on defense and still not get any respect in the All-Star voting. So whatever, like, we saw that with Rudy Gobert. Like, so my point is, your point is, like, there's going to be some breakthrough players in the later parts of this upcoming draft.
Yeah,
the lottery.
And I think that there's, again, when you're talking about the three top players in this draft, and then there's three players that are going to slip through, I mean, I like our chances at 12 again. I really like Sam Presti's idea that you get not just the best player at that, you know, position or best player on the board. It's what's the best player for our system? What's the best player for our organization? And let's just be honest, like, I think it has a lot to do with how Sam Presti watches them interact with the other players when they have them out for, you know, talking around, you know, like, think about it. If you had Jay Will out there and he's hanging out with these other guys and laughing and having a good time, like, there's no way that you wouldn't want him on your team. You know, you see Jay Dub having a good time with the guys and laughing and joking around, like, you want that guy on your team too. I think it has everything to do with the 2 days or 3 days that these players that are interested in Oklahoma City and Oklahoma City being interested in them, that they come to see Oklahoma City. I think it has everything to do with Sam Presti just watching the characters of these young men. And I'm excited, man.
Yeah, it's exciting to see. It's exciting to speculate about who it will be and, like, what type of personality. I do this way too often, but I think about Jeff Green a lot. And a lot of people like to focus in on the Harden trade, but I question the Jeff Green trade. I question the idea that trading to push yourself into contention, you know, and giving up the length of your opportunity window, you know, I think that's kind of where we're at a different phase. And I think a lot of Thunder fans are still a little bit hurt, and they're afraid to fall in love because it burned them. It reminds me a lot of when the Thunder first arrived in Oklahoma City. There was apprehension for embracing the team amongst the fans because the Hornets had just left, and we fell in love with Chris Paul and David West and Desmond Mason and the Birdman and that whole group. And then all of a sudden they're gone. We get a new team, and some people were hesitant. And then all of a sudden you realize you had, you know, Kevin Durant on the fucking team and Russell Westbrook. And
sure.
You're like, okay, we better fall in love with this team. And here we are again. People are a little bit apprehensive, and it's like, does anybody else just realize that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander led all guards in NBA first team voting?
That's insane. Like,
I'm not saying that it didn't happen, but I don't know that happened for any player, for a guard, for any Thunder player, except for probably Russ's MVP year. You know, and
yeah,
like, it's time, you know, it's time. It's going to get crazy. And a lot of people don't realize how much of a difference Chet's going to be able to make from day one.
It's gonna be
but insane. We don't want to put a lot of pressure on him, but like,
but you can
from
just,
like, a stats, but you can just tell there's going to be a lot of gravity.
Dude, I mean, you hear the other NBA players talk about him, right? have we ever heard of a rookie that demands this much respect from the veterans in the league already? Have we seen this before? I think LeBron got a lot of respect. I think there was other players that got a lot of respect. But as far as what I've seen Chet get from the veterans and the best players in the league and what they've said about him, like, I've never seen anything like it before. And I think that is a really great indication of if Chet is healthy, like, he's going to add so much dynamics and so much different stuff to this team that it's going to be impressive. It's going to be really great because we could go big balls, right? Or we go small balls, guys. It doesn't matter. Like, we have the 7-footers that are long and lanky that can cover multiple positions. We've got the short guys that can go straight up and shoot and go lights out. We go Kenny Hustle at the center, and we just go straight up small ball. It's insane what we can do and how we can cover other teams. It's unlike any other team I've ever seen in NBA history in the way that it was designed and the way it could be in a couple of years if we just keep on watching this team grow. It's brilliant, bro. Like, it's unbelievable.
It reminds me a lot of, like, both teams we saw in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, the Celtics can go play Al Horford at the 5, and they do it a lot. They can switch up to Robert Williams, put him at the 5, and then they can play without a 5. And the Heat can play Bam at the 5, and he's a 5, but he's also so versatile. And they can switch it up and play really any combination of players. But you didn't really see the Heat go and be like, okay, we're going to be committed to a 5 position. So the first guy off the bench for Bam is a 5. Like, it was incredible to watch what was happening in the series. And what a game 7.
That was amazing. I mean, for the Heat.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll be honest with you. I love conspiracy theories, guys, right? But the way that the Heat, I felt like, played with the Celtics' hearts was truly spectacular. Not only that, but now get this. This is what's crazy. Is whether or not you want to say Jimmy Butler and company is rested or not, they are. Okay. Not only are they rested, but they're gonna be more healthy.
Rested?
Oh yeah, dude. Oh yeah. And they're gonna be healthier, right? And going into the finals. Playing against a team that just swept a team and that's been sitting there for what now, a week?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Bro, I'm telling you, if this was Jimmy Butler and company's idea of just breaking fucking hearts across the board, I mean, I love it, dude. I love Jimmy. Like, this is a brilliant, if this was a move, this was a brilliant move.
Yeah, I think the Celtics, to give Boston hope, bring it back for 7 and not get it done, they have to feel like they just got played with by their team. And now,
dude.
So, what do you think in the finals, bro? I'm really solidly in the Nuggets camp right now. As far as, I want to make this clear. I'm not a Nuggets fan, but the Nuggets, when they gave Russ a standing ovation when he won that game with that deep three, Steven Adams gave it to him, averaged a triple double, knocked the Nuggets out of the chance to play in the playoffs, and at home the Nuggets gave him a standing ovation. I thought that's a classy fan base, and that's elite in their understanding of, like, the fact that they just saw something special happen, and you got to tip your hat to it. So they earned my loyalty as far as, like, I want them to win a championship, and I've never felt like that about a different team. I'm usually stuck between, like, I don't want this team to win, but I don't want this team to win more.
Yeah.
This one, hey, man. And plus, the Heat, they stopped us from winning a championship.
Yeah.
So fuck them.
I'm glad you're going for Denver, because I do think that Denver is going to be the team to beat here. But I still love Pat Riley for all the years that he gave for us as fans, the Knicks. So for me, man, I have to say is I want Pat Riley to ride off into the sunset. I want him to be able to have that unbelievable opportunity to be able to say, I did it and now I'm out. You know, like, that's what I want for Pat. But on the same sense is that, I mean, I lived in Denver for two years, man. And if you've lived in Denver, I mean, you know what I'm about to say. Denver is a great place. It's an amazing area. But, man, like, they do not like people from Oklahoma.
I just didn't tell people I was from Oklahoma. That's your problem. No, should let that one go a long time ago. But, man, I did live in Denver. I lived in North Glen. I lived in Thornton.
Nice.
Just right outside of the city. And, yeah. Oh, you know, speaking of Denver, this is total rabbit trail. But I was looking up the club that Ja Morant got in trouble at.
Yeah.
That was in Cherry Creek.
Yeah. Nice.
And I like looked, and there's like a pathway from like the neighborhood you used to live in to the strip club.
I didn't make that pathway. That was
did
not...
you ever discover that?
No. In fact, I didn't even know there were strip clubs in Cherry Creek, to be honest. Like, I usually do a good, like, you know, search around the areas to see what strip clubs are available. Just in case my friends Adam and Brian are with me. But for the most part, though, like, I, you know, there was nothing that I saw out there. So that there is a path and a strip club at Cherry Creek. First of all, let's just be honest. This is Denver. So first of all, you don't go down that path. Never go down the path that leads to a strip club. That's in the back of a strip club. That has a forest next to it. Absolutely not, guys. Don't be fucking idiots.
Why not? I want to go down that path. Oh, my God.
Dude, because come on, man. Like, you've been to strip clubs. There's always somebody there that's offering a little bit of extra money for a little bit of extra stuff. You know what I'm saying? And if there's a forest and a pathway into the forest from the strip club, you can put it together, man. Just stay away
from
it.
How many times have you been to a strip club next to a forest?
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
Because I never went in the forest.
Because I stayed away from ones that were like that.
Follow the path.
I would always go to the ones that were like everything else around it. You could see the entire way around the strip club. There's all.
So you would scout out everywhere. Your strip clubs. You'd be like going all
you'd
around.
You'd be very particular.
Need you know your exit plan. I see. Oh, my God. So what is the point, bro? Where are we at? What else do we have to talk about? Finals. Did you say you were picking the just because you don't like Denver, you're going with Miami?
You know what? I listen, I'm going to be like you in the aspect of I don't care either way. I'm ready for a good series. I didn't want Boston to make it. That was all I didn't want, you know. I'm cool with Boston.
I didn't
Boston
want Boston to win
it.
Make it either, but deep down, like a tiny bit of me started kind of cheering for them to be able to complete the comeback.
You know why I don't want a young team to win it?
Why?
Because any young team that wins it is going to take the quote-unquote young crown. Be like, this is the next young team for the generations. And to me, I don't want any team
like
to do that.
You
I want to be
this
selfish.
Selfish reasons and stuff. But
I want this to be selfish, man. I want the Oklahoma City Thunder to take that and be like, that is one of the youngest teams that has ever won any professional championship of any sport. That's what I want.
It reminds me a little bit of when Derrick Rose won the MVP and he was like the youngest, and that kind of pissed me off because I wanted KD to be the youngest. I think KD won it like the next year, and it was a little bit older.
But that's my point, though, is that that's what I see, man. The future, bro. And I want this for this team is like now we don't have a young team. Yes, Denver is a little bit young, and people will be like, "Ooh, their stars are under 30 years old." But I mean,
so let's flip this back to Cason Wallace because,
all right, Cason,
we were all over the place on that. Connection was terrible, but we're a little bit set and kind of wrap this up. But like Cason to me represents Damian Lillard.
Yeah, that type of, like I said, the jaw player, right. Like the Morant Damian Lillard type player.
Could he actually get there? I don't know. Like that's so hard. Like that's just that, like Dame's great. So I get worried, like it seems like if you ended up with a backcourt of Cason and another small guard, you could end up being like Dame and CJ.
Yeah, like Dort and Cason. Like if you had a backcourt of Dort and Cason. But here's the thing, though. There's still teams out there in the league where they have smaller guards, quicker guards. And having two guards that are small and quick isn't a bad thing. Like Dort, small and quick, you know, strong too. But then you have Cason Wallace going in there to play small ball too.
Would you take like Cason if you had the 12 and he was available, or Bilal from France. I don't know. It's called Colomboy. I don't know.
Let me just say this. If you're a player from France in this year's draft, and there's like three players from France, I'm looking at Leonard, Miller, Bilal.
There you go.
I hope I said that right. Wash, yell at me if I didn't. And Victor, right? If you get a chance to get any of those guys, I think you take it. Especially if the Thunder were to trade back, I think Miller would be a perfect fit for them. Not much trade back, but I think France
has an incredible amount of talented player that plays on Team France. He's the other wing next to
Rayan.
Yeah, Rayan Rupert.
Yeah, I would take him, but I would want to trade back for him yet again. Okay. I love these French long lanky guards that they have right now, and I think that anybody that you have an opportunity time that you have an opportunity to pick one of these up, you got to take them, because they're not going to be coming out of anywhere for a while. So I think that's what I would prioritize is the French long lanky guards right now that can play forwards.
Bro. I'm like, man, if this was a really weak draft, which it's not, I don't think anyway. But if it was, I would be like, Kaysen might be a top five pick. But at this stage, particularly with the growth of Thunder, the growth cycle, the phase we're in, I really feel like what we need is a player that could be like a Bridges from the Nets. I can't remember his name. I almost said it wrong, but.
Malik?
Yeah, Mikal Bridges.
Mikal.
That's why I'm like, you need a guy that can play off the ball, defend all five positions. Like, J-Dub can do those things, and then all of a sudden he turns out to be a star with the ball in his hands. And that's why I'm like, I have trouble, not just from the Thunder's perspective, although that's what we think of. I think he's a really, good role player in the NBA.
But let's just be honest. When Sam Presti drafted J-Dub last year, if you think that he thought that J-Dub was going to come out there right away and take over the starting position.
Okay, but here's what I want to say about J-Dub and Shea. They both had attributes that, like their height and wingspan, that if they figured out their game, they could work.
Yes,
and
but
I
that's
wonder
with
about
every
Kaysen.
Single player,
no,
though.
No, I don't know that Kaysen has that. I'm not sure
we just went through that though. Like you and I wouldn't pick Kaysen if he was available and one of these long French lanky guys were available. You know?
Yes, but that's why I get but there will be one at least one available. And I just wonder it's kind of like a game of rock, paper, scissors, right? And if it's like you have a weapon that you can throw one that beats three of them. Whereas like Kaysen can only beat a player like Kaysen, you're better off throwing that Swiss Army knife out there. So that's just my opinion.
I agree, that's what Sam Presti has drafted like. And when I say, this is with all due respect of players that we're going to be drafting this year. It's finding J-Dub at 12 and recognizing he was more NBA ready than anybody could have predicted. And I say anybody just because that's just respect to what J-Dub put out there this last year, mm-hmm. right? You're not going to find that in every draft. You're going to find that maybe once every 3 or 4 years. And you can just look back in the draft history.
I disagree.
And say, really? Okay.
I think there's always a player available like that. And this is where you lean on Vince Rosman, the executive that we picked up from the Sixers. You have to find that guy. If you're going to get a pick in 12 – around 12 nearly every year, you got to find that guy. Maybe you're not going to get Shea, but there's a Shea available. And you got to find that Tyler Hero. You've got to find that guy that can contribute, that can, that's the trick, right? One of the things we like about Kaysen is that he's from Kentucky. And it's Tyler Hero and SGA. A lot of times the guy that's around 12 that gets picked and turns into a star was from Kentucky.
Well, and not just that, though, but, they're underutilized players in college.
Yeah, but remember Tyler Hero was he's got short arms.
Yeah, short arm. I mean, but that was Pat Riley's masterpiece, bro. But that's, like, that's I saw Pat Riley over that shit, bro. That was crazy.
Yeah, a guy round 8 can fall to 12 or whatever.
But that's what what I'm saying in this draft. Like, we've seen, like, Anthony Black could be available at us at 12 and we could just not be talking about anybody else. But the thing is that this draft, more so than anybody else, nobody can sit here and say number 5 is going to be Keegan Murray.
Right.
You know, nobody can say that. Nobody can say that this player is going at number 5 most likely, because nobody really fucking knows. Probably the people that are drafting at number 5, which is Detroit, has no fucking clue what they're going to do, because there's so many guys that are in this block of talented, incredibly talented players that are similar in size and arm length and wingspans and jumping abilities, and it's a crazy, man. So
what if JJ Jackson was available? Would you take JJ or Kaysen?
Oh, JJ.
All right.
I love JJ. Like, JJ's my, like my G-spot, bro.
G-spot.
Like G-spot, baby. He's amazing, man. Like when it comes to what he can do, like, that's the thing about it, is that I'm always looking for players that are, again, underutilized, undervalued. You know,
so it sounds to me like, honestly, Kaysen would probably fall to like 15 if it was up to you.
Well, I mean, we're talking about Kaysen, and I like to talk about positive about players. But this is the reality, though, is that, like, Kaysen needs to be drafted in two. There's two spots for him before 13. There's two spots, and that's it. I think number 7, number 9. Maybe number eight, but that's it. I mean, like, you could see a Detroit at 11 picking him, but again, I don't see them stretching that big. I think Detroit's gonna be smart about their second pick, right? I think they'll be smart about their second pick. I think it's Detroit that gets at number 11, right?
No, it's Orlando.
Orlando, thank you. I think Orlando's going to be smart about that second pick, and I think you'll see them probably draft somebody that the Thunder really like.
I feel very confident that they will not be smart with it.
Dude, but here's the thing about Orlando, is Orlando is one of the teams that could not like any of the players on the board.
Mm-hmm.
And they could value one of the Oklahoma City Thunder draft picks next year higher than what they have this year. You know? Like, if I was Sam Presti and I'm hearing all these rumors and they're saying, listen, we'll trade you Houston's pick, top 4 protected, right, for this pick, and you're hearing James Harden, there's a good possibility of him and Patrick Beverley teaming up there in Houston, then you have to sit back and say, okay.
So we've done this a few times now. Every time we hear a new rumor about Houston, we talk about it. Let's talk about the new one. Do you think Pat Beverley and James Harden are enough to make them a playoff team?
They're a good team if they have people there to help them get through this awkward growing stage of every teenager that ever had.
Do they need more players?
Absolutely. I think that they would, if they're going to get James Harden and Patrick Beverley, that's just the start of it. I think you're going to see them go after Dylan Brooks. I think you're going to have to see that you're going to see them go after. They're going to rebuild this team and have the young assets, because they can't compete with the rebuild that the Oklahoma City Thunder have done. And they know that. But they can compete with going out and getting a team and bringing the young guys up and taking their time with those young guys to develop them. And I think that's what we're going to see with the Houston Rockets. I think the Houston Rockets are going to go fucking blitz and get, they have a ton of cap space. They're going to go out and they're going to try to get, you know, 2 or 3 guys that are going to come in and make a huge difference on this team. And then they have the young guys that they can keep, and they can have these big, massive contracts, and they can keep these young guys and grow them and still keep these massive contracts as they start to switch over. So it makes sense for, you know, a Houston team to be going out and being on a full blitz, because if you look at their 4th pick, that's a valuable pick. And a lot of people would be like, hey, we would give you this and this and this for that pick. And if they can get stuff like that, then they can turn around and make it a sexy destination for a player that's desperate to get to the playoffs. Like, I don't know, Damian Lillard or Jaylen Brown, or, you know, like, they can make it a place where they can make a team that's really sexy. And that's what I keep going. And I'm saying, like, this is a strange year, but a lot could be different. And if the Thunder have the top 4 protected pick of Houston, and there's Sam Presti's more connected to this thing and happening in Houston than anybody else. And if you're sitting in Orlando saying, hey, listen, I'm willing to roll the dice and give Oklahoma City number 11 for that top four pick because that looks sexy. And they're not connected. Like you said, they're not always intelligent. And they're not connected to what's happening in the rest of the league. You know, they could think that that pick is like the greatest thing since sliced bread. But the reality is it's going to be a 21, 22 pick next year.
So what do you think happens now with the Celtics? Like, we talked about it when they were down 0-3.
I still believe it. Still believe it, man. What? They have to get a new coach. They have to.
Do you think Mazzulla's done enough by leading them back to Game 7 to earn another chance?
There's too many accomplished coaches on the market still, bro.
Well, Nurse is now with Philly. So yep.
He's off the board, but he's not, I wouldn't call him the most consistent or ready and to coach this team. So,
Budenholzer?
If I'm them, I'm looking at Frank Vogel.
Vogel.
I love Frank. I love what he could do. He could do some great things there in, with developing those young players. I think that you have to look at Doc Rivers and bringing him back. I know people would hate him coming back to, but there's a lot of turmoil there in the locker room. So, just add more turmoil and put Doc in charge of it and he'll be all right. Then I think after that, then you're going to have to go back to the drawing board and you're going to have to really, I mean, I don't see Budenholzer, whatever his name is, Budenholzer, going there. I think that that would be a stretch for him. So maybe Mazzulla is their only choice.
What but about the reality Brad Stevens is, stepping in?
I thought about that, man, but Brad Stevens to step in, they would have had to been swept. There. I think Brad Stevens
so
steps in.
So Mazzulla earned the right to not get his job poached.
Not get trumped by his boss.
Okay.
You know, so now if anything, he'll be able to go back on the coaching staff with an older coach and saying, listen, we're going to make you the highest paid assistant, but you need to learn how to close out games in over the next 2 years. It's as simple as that. You know, like give him somebody that will be a great coach. To help him, because I think that he deserves a second chance. You know, when Eric Spoelstra failed with Dwayne Wade and Shaq, and Shaq
this
went to...
This didn't happen.
It didn't?
No. It was Stan Van Gundy.
No, I'm saying when he went to...
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Shaq. Well, Shaq went to
Shaq,
him and said...
No. See, Shaq was with...
Was it Dwayne? I thought it was
Stan Van Gundy, right? And
no, no, no.
Was coaching
no,
Shaq and D. Wade, and then like, yeah, they brought in Pat Riley to take over. But then, here's what happened.
Eric Spoelstra, bro.
Oh, hang on.
Eric Spoelstra was the...
Stick with me. So then, LeBron James, D. Wade were there. Eric Spoelstra was the head coach. And they go and they try to get Spoelstra fired. And then Pat Riley says no. So it was LeBron and...
He says, fuck off.
I'm not coming back again. So he had done it once. And he had fired Stan Van.
Yes, and then LeBron came back and asked him again. And he said,
no.
Fuck
off. It's going to be Spoelstra. And Spoelstra has done a great job, obviously.
Because of the way that... I've looked at that moment a lot in the way coaches are. And sometimes coaches are ready. And whether or not you want to say Mazzulla is ready or not, when you get beat and you're down 4-0 or 3-0 in the Western Conference Finals, right, and your team's not responding well at that point, there's already things that start moving in the background, Mark. You know, it's already moving. And even if he gets 3 wins and – makes it a series, a game 7 series, there's still stuff in the works. Even if the only way that he gets saved is that there's enough people that are behind him that are saying he needs another chance at this. But the problem is with that man is, are you going to be able to convince Jaylen Brown to stay? And that's your biggest issue,
well,
because if you
can't
you can
convince
him
to
stay.
You know how you convince him to stay?
320 something million.
So do they want him to stay? For that much.
I know, dude.
Do you think
that's
they do?
That's an insane amount. But, like, that's why I keep on saying is, like, for me, I look at it and I say, like, Jaylen Brown is one of those phenomenal players in the NBA that is underutilized and underthought of as being a great player because, with all due respect to Tatum's game, Tatum is the lead dog over there, you know? So, for me, what better player in the NBA is number two on their team? I don't know of a team that has a better number two guy than Jaylen Brown. And people are like, oh, I get it, guys. But Jaylen Brown will be an MVP caliber player for the next 10 years. How many more guys like that are capable of doing that? I know he's 24 years old, right? or 23, so whatever it is.
Celtics should pay it?
Celtics need to pay it, man. They need to pay the cost that we'll keep to have him there because he's still too young. You can't throw the shit out like that. It would be like a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder basically saying to Shea, sorry, you know, not sorry. You know, like, you can't do that. Like, if they try to undercut him at all and not give him max money, dude, I would just fucking walk if I was him.
So they took a step back, and you think it's the coaching and Jaylen Brown.
I think Jaylen Brown isn't happy, and he's injured. Yeah. And those are two things you don't want. Like, when you're injured and you're not happy that shit's going wrong, you know, like, you need to reevaluate everything.
And you think Houston would be a good landing spot for him?
I think if they're looking to trade, I think there's very few teams that can offer young assets and
He just walk? Isn't he just like totally free to walk?
Yeah, but you would want to sign and trade.
Yeah, I mean, he would get more money that way, I think. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not like that.
Well, yeah. There's a new sign and trade policy. I don't know what it is. Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing about it is that if I'm looking at this and I'm saying any team in the NBA that's not concerned about the salary cap is lying to you. I mean, any team that is. And if you're sitting there and you're saying Boston and you're like, okay, we're screwed right now, guys, because we got Jaylen Brown and Tatum and we're going to have these massive contracts on our hands. Mm-hmm. And that's going to take up now 75%, is it? Something like that of our pay, whatever it is. I'm sure some nerds will tell me the right numbers. But it's going to take up an enormous amount of our pay. Are we going to be able to do that and build a team around them? So then you start saying, okay, well, if we can't build a team around these two guys because we don't have enough money now, how are we going to do that? Well, we need to go find young players that have good young players on their team, and then we can trade them to that team. And you're going to see a lot of teams do that. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a few stars that are traded this year, you know, like Damian Lillard. I wouldn't be surprised Jaylen Brown. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw one of the three quote-unquote stars over at Golden State that are traded. I'm not going to be surprised if there's going to be a lot of players exchanging hands this year, more so than ever. So again, it's going to have, the draft is going to happen, and then boom, we're going to be right into the whole free agency frenzy, and it's going to be insane like we've never seen before, and people are going to be trying to trade. And that's why I think a team like Houston could end up with a couple really nice assets. And if a team like Houston's offering a couple young assets and a draft pick, like really sexy young assets and a draft pick, to the Golden State Warriors for Steph Curry, you'd have to sit there and at least consider it. You know, like, if a team's doing that for Jaylen Brown, you have to sit there and consider it, because it brings you under the salary cap for so many years. You can build a championship caliber team around a player like Tatum.
Well, we'll see what happens. Brad Stevens got a lot of decisions to make.
So much.
And for us, well, we got one big one with that 12th pick. We might trade up. We see a lot of stuff, but Sam Presti always explores the options every year, so we won't know anything until it's done. So
done.
We're excited. The draft is coming up pretty quickly. Tomorrow's the last day of May, and then it's on, man. So finals are set. This is going to be great shit, bro.
Yeah, I'm excited. You guys, this is the best time to be an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, knowing how good we are, knowing we got a top 15 pick, and knowing that there's only going to be amazing things added with adding Chet, this year's draft picks, and the future.
So keep joining us as we break down this draft and everything else going on, guys. We'll see you soon.